Yeah. Sunday morning, 6:22:23. We're going to do the teaching first.
It is a little echoey, a little bit.
We're going to look this morning at Dressing for Success, Part 3. We're going to start with Ephesians chapter 6. Now, what I have to say this morning is something the Lord spoke to me yesterday, and we just had a word of prophecy about great wealth coming and what we're going to do with it. We're going to be able to hear, if we're going to be able to hear from the Lord, what He wants to do with it. And so I think what I have to say has a lot to do with that. All right, Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might." He's not asking you to be strong in yourself, but it is a discipline. "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So the devil's the enemy, always. "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer, with supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." I'm going to read verse 19. Usually that gets left out. "For me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." That's important. Really, that kind of puts the whole thing in perspective. All right. Yesterday morning, this is what the Lord said to me. I was walking in the backyard, and the Lord said, Holy Spirit began to speak to me, and He said this. He said, "Even though many of the Word of Faith teachers are excellent, the word of faith has become a mantra. I had to look it up. When He said mantra, my mind immediately took me to a scene of monks and other religious, sitting in a circle, and all their crap they do. That's a mantra. They do their bowing and their chanting. It's a sacred utterance, a sound work, or a group of words in different languages believed by practitioners to have religious, magical, or spiritual powers. These are all just works of the flesh. All right. Scripturally, the only utterance that Christians partake of are the utterance of the Holy Spirit. Didn't I just read that? And for me, Paul is saying this after this revelation of the armor of God, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that there and I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. The blab it and grab it bunch. Confess it and possess it much. It's all a work of the flesh, if it's not inspired by the Holy Spirit. Yeah. All right, we're going to look at a few scriptures here. Acts 2:4. We're going to see the utterance of the Holy Ghost. We always think we got to be a saying something. We've been of a mind that the more I say it, the quicker it'll come to pass. Well, that's not biblical. I'm going to show you that. This is Acts 2:4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, what happened that day? Well, what? Is it 3,000 or 5,000? Can't remember. 3,000. Were saved that day by Peter's message. The utterance of the Holy Ghost. All right, 1 Corinthians 1:5. Well, let's do 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Just think about what I'm saying here today. Here I'm just walking in the backyard enjoying 6 bumblebees this morning. And butterflies everywhere. And he begins to speak to me about the faith teachers were noble and how they teach. He was not bringing any detrimental thing against faith teachers. He was talking about taking it and working the flesh. A mantra. All right. 2 Corinthians 8:7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, in all diligence, in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. He's talking about the grace of giving here. Ephesians 6:19, I just read you that. Paul said that. Colossians 4:3. Withal, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I also am in bonds. This isn't just we just go about doing whatever and saying whatever whenever we want to say it. It's not what this is about. It's about the unction of the Holy Ghost. This is His plan, isn't it? Here's what utterance means. It means to declare. That's out of Acts 2:4. Utterance. It also means computation or divine expression. In other words, led by the Holy Spirit. Words sanctioned by the Holy Spirit. I know the few times in my life where I've gotten a word that I spoke that I knew was a mountain-moving word, there was an immediate change. Usually within 24 hours. None of this waiting for years and 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 nothing ever happens. What's wrong with this picture? It is just saying a bunch of junk. I think it'd be better to say nothing until you have an unction from the Holy Ghost, because it don't take years and years and years and years and years and years and years. I don't believe that. The old saying that confession brings possession, it's a mantra. Is it really about how many times you say it? Or is it by the unction and the power of the Holy Ghost? That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, and it'll quicken your mortal body by the Spirit that's in you. The Holy Spirit in you. Not by how many times you say it. You know what? If we could get it by how many times we've said it, we would be no problems. And I'm not getting on anybody today. I'm just as shocked as you. When the Holy Spirit said this to me, I'm going, oh, God help us. All right. If this is true, what sets Christianity apart from all the other religions? We damn them as false, but do they have a, because they don't have a risen Savior, but I mean, they're just saying words. They don't amount to anything. They might get a little demon in activity going on for them, and we might too. Just think about that. What is the work of the flesh? Witchcraft is the work of the flesh. Galatians talks about the works of the flesh. All right. We're going to look at some of the examples of Jesus and how he conducted himself while he was here. The example he set for us to follow. Okay, Mark 11. All right, we're going to start with 11 there. Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked around about upon the things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Let me just say something here before I move on. There's no telling how many times Jesus was in the temple, but only one time did he go in there and overthrow the money changers. I venture to say it grieved his heart every time he went in there and saw the money changers. But he didn't act on it. What's the difference of when he finally did? The Holy Ghost said, now, go overturn it. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry and seen a fig tree afar off, having leaves. He came, if happily he might find anything thereon. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple, began to cast them out that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves? And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. I'm telling you what, this new doctrine that's going to come forth. You're right in saying, the Holy Ghost was right in saying, many are just going to flee. Some will embrace. And when evening was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remember it, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Not in yourself, not in your ability to say it 500 times. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain 55 times, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. From what I can see here, you say it once. All right, let's go back to Matthew 6. Tell you what, I'm always going to remind y'all, Danny had a word of prophecy. It's been a week or so ago about the petitions we speak. He said, you read it once. And then anything other than that would be thanksgiving that it is already done. So make sure when you read those petitions, you said, Lord, that day we came before you, but we believe we have received, and we thank you that this and this and this and this, instead of, well, we're reading the same old petition over and over and over and over, because to read it that way is to read it in unbelief. Well, it wasn't good enough the first time, so we got to do it again. No, we didn't good that time. Well, do it again. No, it won't. Well, just start over a new week. Do it again. No. We thank God. That's something you can do 24/7 continually, is thank God. Gave him praise that it is already done. Lest we step out of faith. Just like the lady that they pulled her from the being well back and she died. They're saying undid their praying. All right. Matthew 6, 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father, I like who is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, you're wore out. Have you ever just confessed so much and read the word so much, you just feel like you just can't stand it? But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Then he talks about praying the Lord's Prayer. If you want to pray a prayer, pray the Lord's Prayer. After this manner, therefore pray, our Father in heaven, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Same way with praying for your leaders. Praying for all in authority. Those are two prayers that we've been given to pray. But I still believe we're to pray them as if they're done. I thank you, Lord. You give me my daily bread. It's not a vain repetition. It's not just something we just say. It's like a mantra. Okay, let's keep going here. James 5. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, but he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Right here in the Strong's, this word prayed means supplicate or worship. Now, when we read in Ephesians 6:18, talks about prayer, all supplication, worship. I believe that's thanking him for it. I don't believe it's a begging or reiterating over and over and over, like God is so old he can't hear anymore, so I got to tell him again. Always reminding him. He doesn't have any memory loss. He does not have any problem hearing. He doesn't have any problem seeing. And I'm sure those angels keep an account of everything that's said. If we're going to give an account for every idle word, I'm thinking, Lord, I want you to tear up my list. I repent of unsanctioned words, Lord. Tear up my list. Let me start fresh and new. They'll look at my list and say, I don't see any idle words on here. All right, 1 Timothy 2:1. Do you find? I find it with me. When we get in mixed company, I just don't have a lot to say. Don't have the need. Don't really want to engage in any of it, for the most part. Just silly stuff. Not to be unsociable, but you just become quiet. That when you speak, you want to speak with the utterance of the Holy Ghost and with power, not just a bunch of crud. All right. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessing, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Yeah. Part of our warfare stance includes supplication. Ephesians 6:18. Well, I'll go over there and read it again. 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And Paul, as an apostle, I just read that to you about that for me, that utterance may be given unto me. See, he was about building the house of God, a spiritual house. Presenting the gospel wherever he went. All right. It's not about how many times you pray it or how many times you say it. The Lord doesn't forget the one. Here a while back, I was telling Danny, I scratched my eye. And I went to the Lord about it, and some fear, come against me about it. Anyway, he spoke to me. He said, just like when the angel showed up after Daniel prayed his prayer, he said, the moment you prayed, I headed this direction to answer your prayer. But this demonic entity showed up and I had to stop and battle. And then Michael, the archangel, had to come and help me. But I'm here for your words. That's how important these words are. They're not flippant. And I had it then. It'd be about 3 weeks. And sure enough, about 3 weeks. That's what it took. 3 weeks. I noted that. Just like with Daniel. 3 weeks. I had to stand. What good would it have been for me to just keep confessing and keep saying? From the first day that you spoke, I have come for those words that you spoke. Not the 150,000 that you said afterward, that first time. We don't have to wear ourselves out. A lot of times we're worried because we're just trying to get an answer. Instead of just praying the prayer and saying it's done, it's finished, let's go have some fun, or let's go eat something good, or let's just live. Instead of just being worn out and feeling bad all the time because you're just flat, just battling. Well, we're not made to battle. We're made to stand. And that stand includes rest. Yeah. All right. How did Jesus do that? How did he do all the things that he did? Well, we're going to find out. All right, 1 Timothy 6. Verses 12 and 13. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I gave thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. How did Jesus witness a good confession? How did he do it? He didn't say anything unless it was sanctioned by God. Because Pilate asked him a few questions. I believe it was Pilate. And he did answer. But for the most part, Jesus didn't say anything. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. He was dumb before his prosecutors. He didn't defend himself. Well, I bless God, I'm the Son of God, and da 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 da. No. He didn't say anything. All right, no blab it and grab it here. No. He could have called legions of angels to rescue him, but then he would have thrown us all under the bus. But he didn't. Do you realize this is how the enemy works? Over and over, repeatedly, until we are brainwashed, this is not faith, this is manipulation. What is a mantra? It's just empty words, vain petitions. That's how the enemy has brainwashed us all. That's what MK Ultra is, through programming, movies, television, social media. They say it over and over and over and over and over and over, and over again until they see they can't work faith. So for us to just always be saying the same thing, what makes that different? All right, John 14. We're going to see here by what Jesus says. Jesus knew that the way the enemy comes in at us is by our words. By our words, 14:30. He's been talking to his disciples about he's going away, but he's going to send a comforter. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. How is he going to do a good warfare and can maintain his stance, but he says nothing? Because the devil gets sin by unsanctioned words. That's the work of the flesh. Have you considered this? That's how, we think, well, we're under such attack, all this stuff we're going through. Maybe it's self-inflicted wounds. Have you thought about that? Just a blabbing all the time? We're giving place to the enemy? Keep your mouth. I remember Keith Moore saying, talk little, sin little. I thought, that makes so much sense. Why? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, no matter what they say. No, it's not McDonald's food. And I regret, I mentioned it on TV this morning about the clown in the red shoes. But the fact is the facts. The real enemy is not even the tainted food or anything else. Death and life are the power of the tongue. It's either you speaking in fear or you speaking in faith. There's only two ways. All right. I believe if we'll wait on the Holy Spirit and speak when He gives us words to speak, it will help us to not succumb to the enemy so much. I don't care how long we have to wait. Isn't it worth waiting to have words of power when you speak than just saying a bunch of junk? Sounds good. Sounds religious. All right. James 4. Seven and eight. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. What's a double-minded man? One that's speaking out of both sides of his mouth. When we do warfare with the enemy, it needs to be sanctioned words from the Holy Ghost. Not just a bunch of, well, I bind you, I rebuke you. I've heard people say some of the stupidest things. Well, I send you to hell. Well, the devil's not in hell. No, unfortunately, he's on the earth. Sounds religious, sounds good. But has it got any power to it? No. Just silly stuff. Just silly stuff. All right. Luke 4. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So the Holy Ghost led him into that war zone. I don't understand. Most Christians don't. What have I done wrong? Nothing. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and they were ended, he afterward hungered. So evidently he was told he was not to eat or drink until his father gave him the clearance, right? So what did the devil come to do? Trying to get him to get outside of God's will. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be made bread. You know, God, he's a good God. He wouldn't send you to hell for being a homosexual. You know, he's a good God. He wouldn't do that. God wouldn't do that. No, God doesn't send people to hell. People make the choice to go there, right? The devil's crafty. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. I saw a show, it had Max von Sydow, or whatever his name was. He was playing Jesus. And he was hungry. And he was doing this, and he would go. I mean, that's the first depiction of Jesus being tempted that I thought was real. He looked like he was about to lose his mind. And the devil's sitting over there eating an apple, and, oh, would you like some of this, you know, or, you know. And he's over, about to lose his mind. I'm thinking, that is the best depiction I have ever seen of all the movies about Jesus, of how the devil, working against somebody in their flesh, they're in pain. Hath God said? What would have happened if he'd have said, give me that bread? He would have blown it. for all of us. I'm so glad he didn't, aren't you? And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. So that tells me that wasn't the only temptation Jesus went through. But that was a big one. That was major. All right. Luke 3:21 and 22. Right here. This is what I wrote. Jesus had utterance in the Holy Ghost to respond to the devil. How do I know that? Well, verse 1 says, and being full of the Holy Ghost, he returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Then in 3:21, it says, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, and thee I am well pleased. Jesus was baptized in the Holy Ghost. He had to be. He came as a man like us. What's the Holy Ghost for? Power for service. That's the reason. God didn't send him in there before he was filled with the Holy Ghost. He told the disciples to go into Jerusalem, to the upper room, and wait till you be endued with what? Power from on high. And the Spirit came on them, and they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and 3,000 people were born again in one day. This is all by the power and Spirit of the Holy Spirit. It's not by our works. It's not by the works of the flesh. All right, keep going here. All right, we are the same. If we need to make a response, the Holy Spirit will give us the utterance. Blabbing and confessing our mantras is not doing anything to help us. It's just wearing us out. Jesus got on to the Pharisees about their vain repetitions. All right, this is John chapter 6. Verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And I don't know why I put that there, just a minute. All right, I'll keep reading. Philip answers, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them that every one of them may eat. I wrote it down wrong. I'm sorry. That's not it. Maybe it's 16. Let me look. I know what the passage I want to say, but I don't. All right, let me look here. Well, I don't know what it was, but that's all right. You know, I think it's just programmed into us the flesh. Now, when we get in situations where we are uncomfortable, we want to tell everybody. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. We want to sing that song. We want to let everybody know what we're going through and how awful it is, right? In that kind of the way, we want sympathy. All right, it seems to be difficult to just be able to just keep your mouth shut and act like it's all right, all is well in the midst of the bad circumstances. Yeah. We're made in the image and likeness of God. God rested from his works after he created. How did he do it? Genesis 1. Okay, let me read that because I wanted to read that. Let me write that down. Matthew 6.
What verse did you have in John?
Huh?
What verse were you showing in John?
I don't. What? 1 through 8.
It's Matthew 6, 7.
Well, let's look at Matthew, then we'll go to Genesis. All right. Thank you, Lord. 6. Well, starting with, I'm going to start with verse 1 there. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father who is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, which I read that while ago, but let's skip down to 5 here. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Then he goes on about, I read that a while ago, so anyway, my bad on that one. All right, Genesis 1. God's not asking us to do anything he didn't do. Jesus is not asking us to do anything he didn't do. All right, Genesis 1. 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Kind of like the fig tree, huh? And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. He spoke. I don't see anywhere here where he spoke it again. God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. All in a day's work, huh? And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. And God made the firmament, divided the waters which was under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. God said that the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, that the dry land appeared. It was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. Earth. Seas. In the book, Narnia, the lion. And I don't know if it's in the first book, but it shows the lion creating. He's walking in the garden and he's singing and he's saying, trees and bees and flowers and trees. And well, it's a depiction of God's creation. Ashlyn, he's Jesus, the Word. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Think about it. If we did it this way, The Holy Spirit inspired us to speak. We didn't speak other than that. We just rested. We didn't carry any care. Well, the Lord heard it. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, as it was so. If people would just read Genesis 1, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in. I'd like to get them all together and I'm going to say, I'm going to read you something. And I'm going to show you about this flat realm we live in. So shut up your crap that you're just leading people astray. It's the truth. Take them over to Genesis 6. There's your ETs right there. It would shut down the narrative, wouldn't it? Completely and totally. God made two great lights, the greater lights to rule the day, the lesser to rule the night. He made the stars also and set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night, to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and every evening and morning was the fourth day. This goes on 6 days. Then the seventh day, it says God rested. He sat down. He never gave it another thought. Then this man come along and he said, now I've made you in my image and likeness. Fill the earth. Right here. 26 through 28. I've read it so many times. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God created man in his own image, and the image of God created him. Male and female created him them. And he blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. So do it. In other words, I made it all. Keep it in order. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over everything that moveth upon the earth. He gave him everything in the garden to be able to maintain and sustain. Everything. You read chapter 2. What happened? The serpent showed up. Genesis 1 and 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. How did he work? Faith, he said. He spoke it into existence. We can read Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1. I want you to see this. I want you to get this in your head so you'll never forget it. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by the elders obtain a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So everything was made. God said, God said, God said. Jesus said, no one eat fruit of you ever again. Did he go back and cry all night because he didn't think his prayer was heard? Our disappointment comes from our unbelief in our own words that we speak. Shouldn't be so. We should decree it and keep on a walk and don't look back. It wasn't Jesus that came back and even gave a reference to the tree. It was Peter. All right, Luke chapter 8. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over into the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy, and they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? He commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. Jesus just spoke. We're going to reach the other side. I'm going to go take a nap. See you later. And they had a nervous breakdown. All right, we are first-class soldiers of Jesus Christ. How do militaries act? Huh? When are they acting right? They don't divulge anything. They're under orders. They're under NDAs. The general has the plans. He passes them down to the leaders over the troops. They give the command. The troops execute the plan. It's all hush-hush for obvious reasons, so the enemy doesn't find out anything. Are we giving away our position by the way we're acting? If we're in the flesh, a work of the flesh? It's like, bullseye, devil, come get me. All right. We've been given the Holy Ghost so we can pray in a heavenly language and communicate with our Father, the general, the commander-in-chief, and the devil cannot intercept it or interrupt it. Secret. We're on a secret mission. That's why the Holy Ghost came. It bypasses all the fleshly stuff. It's inside, and the devil can't get at it. All right, Paul told this to Timothy. This is 2 Timothy 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. What is the hardness that we go through? Doing it like Jesus did it. Not giving into our flesh. Just doing works to try to get something done. It's the hardest thing in the world for people to just rest. Sit down, make your decree as the Holy Spirit gives you utterance, and rest. All right, it's hard to keep your mouth shut when the squeeze is on. That's for sure and certain. It is most certainly a discipline. We are following in Jesus' footsteps, and that makes us armed and dangerous. And like I said, the times that I have had words to speak, it was like, bam, I mean, change. Wasn't on this waiting for months and months and months and months and years and years and years and years. And that's where I believe that the part comes where we don't see answers the way we're supposed to. Because we're just doing things in our flesh because that's the way we've been taught, or we thought we were taught that way. Well, if I just say it enough, it just doesn't work that way. Flesh is flesh, spirit is spirit. Learning to operate in the spirit is the key. We're wanting answers out of the spirit realm, right? From God, from heaven, all he's promised. But we're going to have to act like we're spirit people, right? Not flesh. Work of the flesh, witchcraft. That's manipulation. We ought to know that one well. Okay.